All the second stage tanks now pressurized. 35 seconds and counting. We are still going.
Welcome to Lickin' on Lindsay.
Are we beginning to see the formation of a fundamental shift in the American dream of home ownership?
A weekly mortgage market update.
20 seconds and counting.
Fighting up-to-the-minute information.
The of Chinese investors in the real estate market, and they're really starting to have an impact, but it's only
on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
If you look at it on a dollar value, it's significant. If you look at it on a unit basis, it's inconsequential to the overall big market.
To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972.
Here's the deal. How much of the market, real estate market, is comprised of this type of property?
12, 11, 10, 9, ignition sequence start.
And now, here's your host of Lickin' on Lending,
3, 2,
David Lickin.
Merry Christmas, everybody. It's so good to have you with us. Monday, December 18th. Hard to imagine that we're here at that place already. Christmas is around the corner. Merry Christmas to all of you, our listeners. We're very excited to have you here, be a part of us today. We've got a special podcast today. Of course, every one of these, I get excited about our podcast. But this week, we have joining us on the podcast, Marcia Davies. Alice Alvey and I connected with Marcia, and we recorded an interview with Marcia and talking about the new exciting initiative that's going on at the MBA. It's the Empower. And so she is going to be talking to us about the Empower event. Looking forward to having her on the podcast and getting you an exciting insight into this exciting new initiative. And so we'll be talking more about it, but I want to say a special thank you to all of our listeners. We're so grateful that you tune in. This podcast is created by mortgage professionals. It is for mortgage professionals, and we're excited to have you as our listener. Again, we're committed to bring you real-time information in an audio format that you can listen to anytime, anywhere. Rob Christman's got a great blog out there that many read, and a lot of us don't have time to read, so it's nice to have a tool such as this, a means of getting information on an audio podcast when you're running between meetings, running between places, or working out. There's so many ways in which in different times that people listen to this podcast, but we appreciate you tuning in and being with us. A special thank you to our sponsors, ArchMI, the collaborative, has a collaborative new tool. They have the RateStar program. They're working collaboratively with their people. Very excited to be speaking at their national sales meeting here in January. This group is really committed to bringing you the most innovative ways in which you can get the best mortgage insurance for your customers at the lowest rates. Check out RateStar. We'll talk to Jim Jump a little bit later about that. Modivity Solutions, providing real-time reporting, dashboard, and course scorecards, providing you a real look in a real-time manner into your systems. I love it. Find out exactly what's going on in the pipeline in real time. Velma, which does a great job of getting your message out to the audience that you want. We use them to send out messages about our podcast. I encourage you to email us if you want to get on that mailing list, or go to our website, lickinonlending.com. But check out velma.com while you're there. See what, how it can help you get your message out. Also, Simplifile, a real-time electronic communications exchange with your closing agents, customers. Great way for you to communicate in, again, a real-time, operating at the speed of light. I like that, Saban. Going back to Bill Gates' old book, at the speed of thought or at the speed of light. Anyway, Mortgage Collaborative, so pleased to have them as a sponsor, and we're very excited to be working with them again another year. Power of the Network, David Kittle and that team of mortgage professionals bring together some of the top industry leaders, and in a very intimate way, which you get to know people on a first-hand basis. Really encourage you to check out the Mortgage Collaborative. Also, and last, is Finastra, the third largest fintech company in the world with 10,000 employees in 42 countries, serving 9,000 companies. Crazy big that is. Third largest fintech company. Grateful to have them, as well as Alice and Andy and all those, and Alan, that make this program possible. Joe and everybody. So anyway, good to have you with us, everybody. Let's take a look at the upcoming conferences. We have the M&A Mergers and Acquisitions Conference coming up at the Ritz-Carlton, Amelia Island. That's January 22nd. Also, that evening starts the Independent Mortgage Bankers Conference. I'll be presenting at that as well. Looking forward to doing another session on business process improvement. Be leading a panel on that. We're going to have some Frank Fiore is going to be joining me on that. Some other folks. It'll be a great panel. If you're interested in improving your business processes, to that conference and check it out. A lot of great speakers. Also, we have February 6th through the 9th, the National Mortgage Servicing Conference at the Gaylord in the Grapevine in Texas, as well as the Multifamily Housing Convention and Expo at the Marriott Marquis in San Diego. Beautiful place to go, especially for the commercial lenders in beautiful San Diego at this time of the year. If you look at the snow that's flying across so many parts of the country, San Diego is a great place to be. Used to have two mortgage companies there, used to live there. Great, great place to be. We got Rob Van Rapport's audio in, and I just got it in a little late, and we weren't able to get that recorded, but we'll be pasting that in for those of you that are listening to this podcast on a downloaded basis.
Hi, welcome to the Mortgage Minute from the Mortgage Bankers Association. I am Rob Van Rapport. The tax debate continues in Washington, with both the Senate and House agreeing on the text of a bill which will be voted on before the Christmas break. Importantly, the bill preserves current law treatment of mortgage servicing rights, allowing taxes to be deferred until the income is received. It also allows the treatment of capital gains for home sales to remain as it has under current law. From a commercial side of things, the bill preserves a number of key provisions, including the business interest deduction in Section 1031, like-kind exchanges for real property, the LIHTC program, and the tax-exempt status of private activity bonds. The weekly mortgage application survey showed that mortgage applications decreased 2.3% from 1 week earlier, and the average contract interest rate for a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage increased to 4.2% from 4.19% a week earlier. MBA's IMB conference is right around the corner and will take place January 22nd through the 25th at the Ritz-Carlton on Amelia Island in Florida. That's all for the Mortgage Minute.
Let's get over and talk to Les Parker, get what he's got as far as his commentary. Again, Les provides us a view of the macro aspects of the market, and then we're going to get over to Joe Farr. So, Les Parker, what you got?
Thanks, Dave. This is Market Logics Live, sponsored by Loan Logic.
She's come undone.
Who's come undone? Jobs don't know what they were headed for, and when they found out what jobs were headed for, it was too late. According to a recent McKinsey report, 23 to 44% of tasks currently performed by humans will be done by automation technology like AI and robotics by 2030. Remember that GDP is proportional to the number of workers available times their productivity. Taking 10 million workers out of the workforce reduces GDP. Stocks rose as the Fed followed loose money, which boosted excess reserves, and now as it moves away, things will reverse. Ironically, the lack of effectiveness of loose money to increase velocity of money continues to mute the effect towards normalization. These views are my own. Go to loanlogics.com to subscribe to my daily newsletter.
I like the song choices there. Anyway, Joe, I don't know. You know, you're going to sing a few bars. Are you feeling better? You weren't feeling so well there for a while. So good to. Yeah, you're glad.
I'm feeling better, but
not
enough so that I'm going to sing.
I'm not sure you'd do that even your best day, if I recall correctly.
You're right about that.
Well, let's talk about what's going on in the markets today, Joe, and what we have to look
forward to. Well, prices are down just a little bit today. You know, and it's pretty much because the stock market's up. You know, everyone's expecting the passage of the tax bill. The stock market's, the Dow's up to 24,820.
Crazy.
And it is crazy. So people are happy, especially the home builders. Don't know if you saw the National Association of Home Builders Housing Market Index rose to the best level it's been since 1999. So, yeah, there's some happy home builders out there. So last week, Dave, was... You know, it was a week didn't have a whole lot of movement to it, net movement. There was some reaction to things during the week, which I'll focus on here. One was central banks. You know, both the Fed and the ECB held meetings, and neither of them caused a real significant reaction. But the Fed, you know, the Fed did raise Fed funds rate as expected, and they projected 3 rate hikes for next year. They showed a little faster pace of increases in the out years, which, you know, you might think would have caused a little drop in MBS prices, but instead investors reacted to the Fed statement and the press conference in a positive way. You know, I think because there was some concern that with recent strong economic data, there might have seen an even more bullish Fed. So prices improved somewhat on that Wednesday. ECB came out on Thursday with no new information, and it caused no reaction. So that was not a big deal. Then retail sales came out on Friday, and it was extraordinarily good. November retail sales ex auto rose 1%, which was way more than expected. And as you might guess, this caused a bit of a negative reaction in mortgage rates, somewhat offsetting the positive reaction that occurred on Wednesday. Also on Friday, inflation data came out. Actually, the retail sales data was on Thursday. Inflation data came out on Friday, and core CPI came in at an annual rate of 1.7%, which was down from October's 1.8, but it matched the, I think it was five prior months to October at 1.7%. So, you know, if there's a trend working there, it's a pretty flat line given where the inflation has been running. So now looking at the week ahead, passage of the tax bill is expected. All right. If for some reason that doesn't pass, it's going to have, I think, a bit of a shock to the stock market, which could be pretty good for mortgage rates if that were to occur. But it's viewed
pretty
as all
much anticipated to happen. Yeah,
exactly. Housing data is going to come out, you know, strong home builder sentiment this morning. We see housing starts tomorrow, existing home sales on Wednesday, and new home sales on Thursday. So lots of data there. And then third look at third quarter GDP comes out on Thursday. It's expected to show no change, sitting at a very good 3.3%. Durable orders, core PCE, and consumer sentiment finish a pretty busy week on Friday. So should be, you know, they're trying to cram in a lot of the economic data here early for the holiday breaks.
Amazing. There's some good stuff in here, but like you said, there could be some volatility in this week. If that the tax bill, there's any hiccups in there, any last minute concerns, that could create some instability and
absolutely
have an impact. And I do not know how people can manage that without a tool such as MBS Quoteline. You do a great job. Again, I'm on the website, folks. If you're not looking at this website, you can see it, how the market's moving in real time. You see the economic data. You see what's projected to happen. Just well organized. It's concise. We're all so busy. We don't have time to be really reading analysis. I just want to get right to the facts. You do a great job of that on your website. And are you doing any Christmas specials or anything like that, Joe? Or you're just your standard, hey, you call me, you haven't tried it, you can try it for...
Give yourself a gift.
Give yourself a gift. That's right. Be informed. Be able to give your customers a gift. Help you do it. If you want to check it out, go over to mbsquoteline.com or call Joe at 512-637-1763. Folks, we're going to be right back after this brief break with our good friends at Velma. They do a great job getting the word out.
Are you using one of those expensive CRMs that your loan officers won't use? If so, then give my friends at Velma a call and let them help you create a customer journey that relies on the data and not on loan officer interaction. I encourage you to consider working with Velma to create a truly automated marketing experience for your organization. Velma makes marketing automation easy. Schedule a demo today at Velma.com, V-E-L-M-A.com.
The Mortgage Collaborative was founded by former chairman of the NBA, John Robbins and David Kittle, and leaders at the forefront of the diversity movement in the real estate industry, Jim Park and Gary Acosta. The Mortgage Collaborative is the nation's only independent cooperative. The Collaborative provides its members the opportunity to meet and form meaningful relationships with top mortgage professionals and leaders in our industry. In a relationship-driven business such as ours, often who you know is as important as what you know. To learn more, go to mortgagecollaborative.com or call Rich Swarbinski at 440-552-0691. The power of the network.
Great way to get connected with people, the power of the network, and then getting your word out. Velma, appreciate them so much for being sponsors of the podcast. Alice Alvey, good to have you with us. So much to talk about with all that's going on in the market, but Merry Christmas to you. What you got for us today?
Hey, Dave, and hi, everyone, and Merry Christmas to all of you, and happy holidays, and happy snow days, too, because we got a bounce.
Yeah, you got some of that.
Yeah. So, anyway, obviously, as Joe mentioned, tax reform is very much on everyone's mind, and I've been sitting here playing with this tool that the National Association of Realtors has put out on the tax reform impact to homeowners. Obviously, in our business, the number one concern is the discussion that's going on about will this impact, you know, home prices, and then even people's desire, you know, in the buy rent comparison, you know, who may just be changing their thought about buying. Will it change the markets? And there's definitely a lot of data put together by NAR that you can check out, and it's very interesting. So if you look at California, 49% of the owners there with 5,000. But in that state, they're looking at a potential impact, you know, from their calculations of a drop between 8 and 12% in value, or by the time you add up all the tax implications for the tax law change. So check out your state. New York had some interesting numbers. I was looking at, you know, the different coastal states and then through the Midwest, and a lot of them are, you know, about a 10% drop in prices once the tax reform goes through because of the change in the value of the tax deductibility of home ownership by the time you cap property taxes and cap all the other relative deductions that you would have otherwise gotten, and now people will go to a standard deduction. So check that out to understand it. It'll be interesting to see what actually happens. So, Dave, I'm not sure if you had a chance to check out that tool yet, but it's been an interesting PDF.
Yeah, very, very interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, so I think, you know, there's a lot of, that's where I think the uncertainty is as to why should I own a home at this point. So that concerns folks even more as they're looking at, well, there's already a drop in volume because of refis. How much do I have to factor in a volume change as a result of folks who will just want to rent instead of buy with this particular change? So something to consider. And the other thing to know is the Mortgage Bankers Association was also reporting on House Bill 2948, the Safe Transitional License Act, did get an agree through committee last week, and that's always good. So it is in the major regulatory reform package. It's included in there, but it also still seems to have a life of its own running on just its own Safe Transitional Life bill, because obviously it's easier to get one little thing through than that other mass bill. So we're watching both for you to see which one happens before year end, and we don't have a lot of year end left, so those will likely be the first part of next year. The other thing, just a heads up with the Ginnie Mae pool issues to try and curb some of the churning that's been going on with VA refinances. This was a big topic at the annual conference in October. I was in two meetings where this was brought up about various lenders out there that are definitely churning the VA veterans, and they're getting, you know, they're losing their equity real quick. So maybe it's a benefit in the short-term monthly payment, but these loans are really having their unpaid principal balance increase rapidly. So what Ginnie Mae has done is put into effect that effective for pools issued April 1st, streamlined refinances and cash-out refinances will have to meet a seasoning requirement. Now, the streamlines have already had, last year they put into effect a fixed payment seasoning requirement. This year, they're adding a second criteria and they're adding cash-out refinances. So they're saying not only do you have to have six consecutive monthly payments, but you would have to also have the first payment due date no earlier than 210 days from the time that you put it in the pool from the next due date. So you really have to watch that you're meeting the 6 months from a days and from a payment standpoint. And if you don't meet that criteria, then these cannot go in your Ginnie 1 and your Ginnie 2, your Ginnie 1 single issue and your Ginnie 2 multi-issue. So you will see out there some differences in the market. You'll start to see that some lenders are going to say, well, I'm going to do them anyway because it's a Ginnie Mae thing, not a VA thing, and I can still maybe put it in a spec pool. And then you'll have the other lenders who go, you know what, I value my relationships with my broker-dealers, I value my relationships, and I want to make sure that we stay taking care of the vets. And so, you know, it'll be interesting to see how this unfolds in the market as to which lenders are going to offer what. So obviously taking care of vets is a priority for all of us. We don't want to see them, you know, get their loans churned. So that's my report for today, Dave. Three big topics, important things
good
to be
topics.
Watching for everybody.
Well, we've got one of our listeners.
Wow, we can talk on
Humda. Oh, yeah, then there's Humda. So we just got one of our listeners wrote us an email or a text message, sent me over a text message to ask Alice what she thinks is the most significant regulatory area that we should be, or thing that we should be focusing on or paying attention to as we head into 2018. 2019?
I think the biggest one that's getting a lot of attention is as lenders start to struggle for more business, right? I mean, some,
right.
Not Union Home, but as other lenders start to struggle for more business, you know, I would think marketing servicing agreements, you know, is going to be something that is going to be under the microscope. Lenders are going to try and develop different type of affinity relationships, MSA agreements, and really pushing the envelope, maybe even pushing the envelope on some LO comp. So I think we don't have new regulations per se, but I think what the biggest thing in 2018 will be is watching lenders who start pushing certain regulations or walking in gray areas in order to get more business.
Yep. Where that's it's the gray areas, and what we're seeing already some evidence of when we're in doing some due diligence, it's a lot of pressure on getting every deal done, and they're pushing the underwriting guidelines, and it always makes me nervous when you see people getting, you know, compromising their overall financial position with an unnecessary buyback because they went out there and pushed their guidelines. And what we're seeing some interesting is, again, not widespread, not well-run companies like yours at Union Home. You guys run a great company there, but there are some that are feeling the pressure, and it's production, which goes to that point. Who's wagging the dog? Is the dog wagging the tail, or is the tail wagging the dog? And we cannot compromise. So it's an interesting question. So quality, loan quality, but regulatory standpoint, not much in the way. Just make sure you get your HMDA done. Love to talk to you about it if you need help on that. Alice, thank you so much for being here with us. And thanks for participating in the interview with Marcia. I'm really excited, our listeners. You want to give some thoughts to that as we tee up that a little bit later? We got Alan and Andy to go. Then we're going to get into the interview with Marcia. But anything you want to add to that?
Well, I would just say that Marcia is just such an incredible woman, has a great history and supporter of mortgage banking, and is just so intelligent. And the way she articulates this topic is something everyone should listen to, because diversity and inclusion is a hot topic for lenders to be able to grow. And Marcia makes some wonderful points that everyone should listen to and understand.
And you participated in the interview, so we're going to get that a little bit later. Thanks, Alice. Have a great time. Merry Christmas, and look forward to talking to you again on the other side of the holidays. Appreciate it so much.
Thank you.
You bet. Folks, we're going to be right back after the word from Finastra by David Bolin.
Hey, thanks a lot, David. Finastra is extremely proud to be a key sponsor of the Lickinon Lending Program. Known formerly as DNH, Finastra's global lending division provides end-to-end solutions and innovation to the full spectrum of lenders, including independent mortgage bankers, community banks and credit unions, and even the largest banks globally. Learn more about how you provide an innovative digital experience for your borrowers by leveraging our multi-channel point-of-sale solution, which includes the new MortgageBot Mobile, by visiting our website at finastra.com.
Simplifile has technology that gives you the ability to collaborate with settlement agents via real-time chat and messaging, allowing you to track changes, send, receive, and validate documents, as well as obtain status updates and deal with issues as they arise. All of this in a real-time electronic communication exchange. And best of all, you have a complete audit trail of all communications. To learn more, go to simplifile.com or call our good friend Nancy Alley at 1-800-460-5657.
Yes, Finastra, Simplifile, great group of people, and some excellent technology that runs both of them. Speaking of technology, let's get Alan Pollock on the line. Alan, good to have you here with us, my friend.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
We're launching the Tech Stack Radio program here in January, so let's give our listeners a little flavor of what they can get some insights into. You know, I'm really what happened this last week, I'm really interested in getting your perspective on. And, of course, we're talking about the bill that just went through Congress.
Net neutrality. First, you know, we talked or introduced net neutrality briefly a few weeks ago. Let's just talk about what it is. Net neutrality is the basic principle that prohibits internet service providers like AT&T or Verizon from speeding up, slowing down, or blocking any content, applications, or websites that you want to use. And so net neutrality is the way that the internet has always worked, right? In 2015, millions of activists pressured the FCC to adopt historic new net neutrality rules that kept the internet free and open, allowing people to share and access information. And so what were those rules? right? The rules were, one, no blocking. So very easily put, a broadband provider can't block lawful content, application services, or no harmful devices. Two is that there can't be any throttling. The FCC created a separate rule that prohibits broadband providers from slowing down specific applications or services, a practice known as throttling. And so you hear about other countries, right, and how they throttle
right.
and sort of filter content. That can't happen here. And more to the point, the FCC said providers can't single out internet traffic based on who sends it, where it's going, or what the content happens to be.
Hmm.
And even if it competes with any of their other business models or customers. And finally, there's no paid prioritization. So a broadband provider can't accept fees for favored treatment. In short, the rules prohibit fast lanes, like the easy pass on a highway. So what happened on December 14th is the FCC's chairman basically won the ability to gut out all of the net neutrality protection. And so there's a lot of articles and a lot of different people really talking about what it means. And I think there's a little bit of hysteria on both sides, right? So I've been reading a lot of this comment online, and I'm going to share a couple interesting things with you. An Inforum article talks about companies that make big money like Facebook and YouTube. They've been lobbying the FTC to make the internet to be declared a public utility. And so that what that does is the government takeover, that public utility, allows these big content providers to spend millions more and to have regulators shut out competition and control usage so they can make even more money. YouTube and Netflix alone can use up to 70% of the available space on the internet, which impedes others, slowing down traffic. So even though they may not be paying for it, right, they've got their servers and their systems deeply embedded inside of these content providers or these data centers. So they're getting the largest priority, even though they may not be paying for it. And so net neutrality, people are arguing that it, even though it exists today, it's not working. And so the article states that it hardly seems fair to have businesses spend the capital to build the infrastructure and then have government set prices and decide who can and can't use that. Because they'll spend all the money to build it, but then they won't be able to specify who can use it. And so the rollback of the government takeover will harm startups and small technology companies, right? And so should we make it where the government can put in, and we know that, right? And we talked about that last time. And they don't understand, many people don't understand how mega corporations have already maneuvered our government into stifling competition and shutting out the very entrepreneurs and innovators who created the new frontiers of that communication service. Another article, very interesting, had stated that, you know, Chuck Schumer is saying that Congress could block the actual net neutrality repeal. However, they face some tough odds, is what the article talks about. And what it says is that Chuck Schumer says he will force a vote on a bill that will reinstate the FCC's net neutrality rules. And he says it doesn't need the support of the majority leader, it just needs a majority vote. And so the FCC voted, well, let me actually back up right here. A successful vote could invalidate the FCC's net neutrality repeal and prevent the FCC from issuing a similar repeal in the future.
Yeah, well, boil this down. What is the net impact of this thing? I'm trying to net neutrality. It's something that Obama put in place. What is the net effect if this sticks? It means what does it mean if for anyone in the mortgage industry? What is the or mortgage any mortgage tax?
So I think what it means is that there could be the different segmentations of internet service should these rules be unwound. However, you know, David, I say that, but you know, the internet was here way before 2014 when all the lobbying started for net neutrality and when it was finally passed in 2015. So if you think about it, the internet was always free, right? There were never these rules in place. So there's people arguing saying that, look, If big companies want to provide content, they're not going to stop your kids from watching cartoons on YouTube.
Right.
What they're going to do is you may have a better experience watching cartoons on YouTube because they're going to have the companies that provide that content are going to be able to pay to guarantee that they have better bandwidth. Now, yes, it's going to create competition and it's going to make it more expensive for others to get into the game. So for a mortgage company or for certain institutions, they may want to pay to guarantee that they have allocated bandwidth. so that their systems
So it's an allocated bandwidth. So if a mortgage company is, I mean, everything we do in mortgage, everything
right.
we're interacting with is that is related to LOSs. It's all SaaS models now for the most part. So does this have any impact on us in the mortgage industry, if it one way or another, or are we saying that some bandwidth to on an LOS program might be impacted?
You know, it's a great question. It's hard to say right now if there would be anything, because if you think about what your average company needs as far as bandwidth, number one, most companies are already paying up for either dedicated lines or business accounts of bandwidth. And so that may be sufficient. And then when you place your systems in a hosted environment, which almost all companies have to do today, so let's say the Amazon cloud or a data center, there's a
right.
baseline of service and bandwidth you pay for today. So unless
right.
you're streaming high content or things that would require unlimited streaming, it may not have much of an effect on you at all.
It may impact your marketing. It could have an impact on your marketing if you're doing that.
Right.
I mean, there's an increasing number of companies are using video. I'm going to be talking a lot about that in 2018. So I think that's probably the most logical thing. But as far as running your LOS or impacting your ability to communicate to your servers through the internet, that
there likely won't be. That's right.
All right.
And I think we're going to be caught up in legislation for some time here. The other thing to keep in mind, David, is our podcast. So we may have to pay for the Easy Pass so that all of our listeners can listen unlimited and without interruption.
Oh, interesting. So it may have an impact on us. Well, there you go.
But anyway,
I was listening.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on net neutrality. And before we end here, just important to remind everyone that we have our brand new podcast coming out in January, Tech Stack Radio.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of interviews that we have already done, and we're editing, and a new mobile app and a website coming out. So should you want to take part in our new program or
yes.
have interest in it, please reach out. You can reach me, Allen, A-L-L-E-N, at TMS-Advisors, or David at TMS-Advisors.
Excited to be doing that podcast with you, my friend. Really appreciate it. Really do.
We're going to have some great guests on the program. And so in a topic like this, David, we'll bring someone in that really knows net neutrality well and maybe two different sides
yeah.
of the coin. And we'll
yeah, we want to do some debate.
Program.
That's an excellent idea. Thank you, Alan. Look forward to getting into that after the first of the year. Merry Christmas to you
Likewise.
And your family. Looking
and you.
Forward to a great new prosperous year with you, my friend. Let's get over to Jim Jump at Arch MI. Very excited to be speaking at their national sales meeting coming up here in January. Great group of people. And if you have not connected with your rep, do so. But let's hear Jim talk about RateStar. Jim?
Thanks, David. Let me tell your audience a little bit about Arch MI RateStar. RateStar is the most sophisticated pricing solution for mortgage insurance quotes ever built. RateStar has an advanced revolutionary design. It's simple to use, it's easy to access, and it's fully mobile. You can access it anywhere, anytime. RateStar provides a more sophisticated and dynamic pricing solution, far superior than conventional rate sheets. It's available on loan origination systems, through many pricing engines, and it rewards your origination of high-quality loans, again, with our most competitive rates. Of course, RateStar is backed by ArchMI's people power, providing superior support and service whenever you might need it. For more information about RateStar, please go to archmi.com or archmicu.com for credit unions. Thanks, David.
So good to have you as a sponsor, Jim. Appreciate it very, very much. Let's get over to the Profit Doctor. Now, he's a Profit Doctor.
Okay.
He can fix like a medical doctor the things, but he's also getting his PhD. You're a smart guy, Andy. I'm glad to have you on the radio program.
Well, Dave, thanks. Well, that's kind of you. I obviously have too much time on my hands to be able to spend so much time studying. I should be working more.
Well, I think it's really good. You're doing it through a special program, through an accelerated rate. I think that's just awesome. Those that go get the degrees and the letters behind that, you already got a lot of letters, but my favorite one is the Profit Doctor. So what can you tell us about?
Thanks, Dave. Well, first off, accelerated still is going to be 3 or 4 years. So it takes a long time. And you have to use words like epistemological or the pursuit of epistemological enhancement for mortgage banking. So what does that even mean? I mean, who cares?
What does that mean?
So that's interesting. I really enjoy it.
It's like net neutrality. It's like net neutrality. What the heck does this really practically mean
I'll
in our
day-to-day? I'll have to read that. I'm still fuzzy on the whole thing. I don't know enough about it to even talk about it. Well, Dave, you know, I was thinking a little bit philosophically as we have our last Prophet Doctor segment for 2017 as we look into 2018 going forward. And one of the things that struck me is that you've got to have numbers, you've got to know your numbers, you've got to do all those things that we've talked about all year, but it's also so much more than just the numbers. You have to run your business, and that means remaining open to identify new opportunities. And I think that includes constantly exploring knowledge. If there's something you don't understand, explore it, understand it, pursue it, dive in until you get it. And at the same time, we also need to focus on the truth in our pursuit of excellence. Sometimes we don't like the truth, like refinancing VA loans erodes veterans' equity. So that's the truth, and yet we build a business model to do that. So as we pursue excellence, we also have to remember the truth of the details that we're uncovering. Part of this also includes, and I see this in mortgage lending that frustrates me to some degree, but we really need to embrace this, and I know you do this, Dave, and that's being respectful and appreciative of others. You are so good at that. You always have a kind
word.
Thank you. It's fun to talk to you just because you are always so encouraging. So, but we need to do this broadly, not just some of the time, but all the time. We need to be respectful and appreciative of others, as we also are grateful for the opportunities that we have and thankful for everything that's in our life. So I think that there's more than just debits and credits, I's dotted, T's crossed. There's much more to life, and there's a much bigger picture in mortgage banking as we're the railroad tracks that get the train down the track. We are the liquidity for mortgage finance. People don't buy a home without us.
Right.
It's an amazing responsibility. It's an amazing opportunity. It's an amazing industry, and we get to pursue that. And as we do that, though, let's do it. Look for new things. Pursue knowledge. Focus on the truth. Be respectful of others, and be grateful for the things that we receive.
Good job. I love that. Thanks. I love that. Sharing from the heart. From a guy with a really bright mind. Folks, if you are looking for someone to help you work through, are you doing your accounting right? I mean, it's starting with general ledger. Do you have the right GL numbers? All the way through to how you're accounting for it in the most detailed, deepest sense. You have got to get a hold of my good friend, Andy Schell, the Prophet Doctor. CPA, CFF, CMB, soon to be a PhD, but loved as the Prophet Doctor. Email Andy at andy@mbs-team.com. Good group of people to get to know. I'm privileged to call him, honor him, to call him a friend and associate and the radio program here. Folks, we're going to be right back. We're going to get over to the Motivity KPI of the week. And John Maynell, who is VP of Client Services, is going to share that with us. So, John, what you got for us this week?
Hello, Dave. Thanks very much. Great to be here as always. And this week we have another key performance indicator related to TRID. And the KPI is underwriting to closing days. And like all TRID metrics, the focus is the estimated closing date and how far in advance a file should be submitted to underwriting to make provisions for any and all underwriting eventualities, possibly multiple resubmissions, and leaving enough time after final approval to finish the loan and deliver the closing disclosure on time. A very common practice for lenders that have automated their analytics with mortgage business intelligence like Movation is to have the system automatically send email alerts to participants on those loans that are running late and at risk of missing these milestone deadlines. Now, this allows loan participants to continually reprioritize their workflow to ensure they remain compliant, clearly demonstrating again that what gets measured gets results. And with that, Dave, I will thank you once again and turn it back to you.
So much appreciate our sponsors. I want to say Merry Christmas. Thank you for your sponsorship of this program, and very grateful for you and for everyone who participates in this podcast. We're going to get over to an interview that Alice and I recorded of Marcia Davies. Marcia has a huge impact at the MBA. I particularly love the partnership that she and David Stevens have in running the MBA. I think that it's an unusual talent where they have found each other's strengths, they defer to each other's strengths. But David has said so much of what goes on in the NBA is the driving force behind what's so much going on is Marcia. She does an outstanding job of really bringing information, these conferences together, keeping us informed of everything going on. I just can't say enough about her. But one of the most important initiatives that she has launched is something called Empower. Empower is exclusively for women in the real estate finance industry, and we invite you to listen and learn about it and encourage you to get behind this. It's not just for women. While it's focused on women, to support women. My daughter's getting in the mortgage industry. I'm so glad that Marcia has launched this program and she develops her career in mortgage lending. So with that, here we go. Marcia, I want to say congratulations on another successful annual convention in Denver. The NBA does a great job of putting on a lot of conferences and conventions throughout the year. But the NBA's annual convention is always the granddaddy of them all, and this one was outstanding. Now, this year, you held an event on Saturday before the main conference officially started, and it was a hit. In fact, as soon as I stepped off the plane, I started getting text messages and voicemail messages. Dave, you should have had the podcast here. You need to get in on this. And there's so many people that understand and listen to the podcast that they passionately said that you need to get this out to every one of your listeners. So, Marcia, that's what we're doing. Thank you so much for taking a minute to join me here today.
David, thank you for having me. And I love the idea of maybe having you do a podcast from one of our Empower events. We're going to be doing a lot of them this year, and it would be great if you could join us for one. About Saturday, it was our first ever full day dedicated to women in our industry. It was a full day of networking and learning. We had dynamic speakers. To be honest, we thought, let's assume we're going to have about 200 women who would come in on a Saturday, fly in early. You didn't necessarily have to be going to annual, but we thought many would be going to annual. And we ended up with over 340 women.
And we standing room
actually,
only.
Yes, we actually had a waiting list and then decided, let's just open the waiting list and order more materials at the last minute and get them shipped in. We wanted to keep it intimate, but we also didn't want to, you know, exclude any of the women who wanted to attend. And the feedback has been overwhelmingly positive from women who are just starting out in the career to seasoned veterans. Everyone felt that it was a great day, and the energy could be felt throughout the whole convention. As a matter of fact, many of the officers and members came up to me to tell me it was the buzz of the convention. So I couldn't be more pleased and proud of how far the work that MBA has been doing to really promote opportunities for women to network and get some professional development, how it's just taken off and it continues to grow.
You had such a successful event. Again, I was hearing about it literally as soon as I touched down, and throughout the conference, I can't tell you how many people walked up to me, said, you need to talk about it. And they said, Dave, you need to get behind this and understand what it is. Now, I'm a dad of two daughters, one of which is going to appear to follow my footsteps into mortgage banking. I'm thrilled about it. And I'm so glad that this program is started for this generation, but more so for the next generation. Tell me about the inspiration, the genesis of this event. Where did this start and why?
So first of all, we share having a daughter following us in this industry.
Oh,
I feel very proud of my daughter, Emily. She has been working at Freddie Mac for 6 years, and she loves it and is doing incredibly well. I was honored because she attended the Saturday event. And I spoke to the women in the room in my opening remarks and told them that I was 25 years old when I entered this industry, and there weren't events like this. There wasn't networking opportunities for women. And frankly, there weren't a lot of women in leadership when I entered. So at 25, I was left on my own to navigate the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
it was really important to me to provide and to get to know each other and to exchange ideas and really have opportunities. If there's something that they want to explore or learn from, they can do it from other senior women in the industry. They can do it from professionals that we bring in, like Mika Brzezinski, who we had that helps women understand their value and understand how to grow it. And we did a session on personal branding, and we did a session on how to command the room, and we had someone come in and talk about it. It was content full. If I have one criticism of myself, it was we filled it so much that we could have had more networking time, but we kept filling it with content. And so that's something I'll look at in the future.
Well, I'm sure this will expand beyond just the time allotment that you had there in Denver. One of my favorite people is Trisha Megliazzo, and she was one of the first ones to tell me as she stepped on the plane what an amazing event it was. And I told her I was going to be interviewing you. And, of course, anyone who's not a member of the MBA, get a hold of Trisha and her team. Become a member of the MBA. You need to. And this is one of the reasons you need to is for these types of events. So, again, the beginning, is this, so you started in the industry, you're 25 years old, and certainly, I mean, I've been at it for 44 years, certainly there were not a lot of women, and certainly there has not been the attention. So was that seed planted back then, if I can get an opportunity to bring this forward, I want to, or was it your daughter entering into the industry and her making comments?
It was actually something, it happened a few years ago when I realized I was in a position to do something about it, that I had a platform and the resources to test, frankly, would women take the time during a very busy and hectic convention schedule, would they take an hour to come together to network? I started out small and actually very informally. And it started a few years ago, if you remember our annual in San Diego.
That's right.
I went through the registration list, and I started inviting women who were from all different stages in their career. I just kind of went through randomly, and I sent an invitation and invited them to a lunch. And twice as many showed up than I invited. And they stayed, and they stayed engaged. And I thought, this is awesome, because women were getting to know each other. They were sharing their experiences. So I continued. And at many of the major MBA conferences, you know, servicing, and we have commercial multifamily, we have a big conference there at secondary, we kept holding what I called networking events. And then in New York, I partnered with Digital Risk, who agreed to sponsor a speaker so that I could have a professional development type of speaker, and we could offer lunch. So we thought, let's expand this a little more and see if we make it more than networking and then start providing information and having women have the ability to ask questions, and we could dive deeper on certain topics. So I appreciate having Digital Risk come right out of the box on something that was somewhat informally tested and said, sure, we'll partner with you and sponsor. So they sponsored the first lunch that we had with a speaker. And I was lucky enough that my boss, Dave Stevens, happened to walk by the room. And he walked in, and he could not believe how packed the room was. And I was also fortunate enough that there were a few trade reporters who were female that attended the event, and we got amazing coverage. And so when I got back to D.C., Dave looked at me and he said, you need to do what you need to do to make this formal and to put it out there. Do whatever you think you need to do to grow this, because you've tapped something. So last October, we launched Empower, a branded initiative that has an online community for women where we have data and articles and the ability for women to talk amongst themselves within the community, ask questions, support each other, and also get information about our events. And last year, we started in October, and today we have well over 1,200 women in that community.
Wow.
And we have done, I'd have to go back and count, but since Empower has been what I'm considered formalized, we've done over 10 events, and we've had this full-day seminar. And we've gone to one regional conference last September. Deb Sosa, Massachusetts, runs the New England MBA. She called me after Boston and said, I want Empower. at the New England MBA. So we created a template where we could bring Empower to a lot of our regional partners who would like to have that experience for their members. And if Deb was here, she would tell you what she told me, which was it was the highlight of her conference. The feedback was overwhelming. And Trisha was the one who facilitated that session for that Empower. So it has really taken off and grown in leaps and bounds. So I so appreciate you taking the time to let us talk about it and get the word out, because it is
it's an honor.
An important topic to me personally, but also to MBA and the women in our industry.
Well, to the whole industry is so important. And one of the individuals that first contacted me as soon as I stepped off the plane just joined us on the call. Alice Alvey, so thankful that you could take a few minutes out of your busy day to join us. Good to have you here.
Thanks, Dave. Hi, Marcia.
Hi, Alice. How are you?
The party here. I'm well, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. Before you tee up Alice, I want to be sure you know. So Alice is with Union Home Mortgage.
Yep.
I have, and the head of Union Home Mortgage, as you know, is Bill Cosgrove, former chairman of MBA. I'm going to have two stories about Bill Cosgrove. I'm going to tell you the first one now, and then Alice will, you know the one because I told it in the room at Empowering You. But the important thing to know is when Bill Cosgrove heard that we were doing the full day summit, he immediately picked up the phone and he said, I'm all in. I'm all in big. And he was one of our largest sponsors, which enables MBA to bring top-notch speakers and to enhance the experience. So I'm so thankful that you were part of the group that was there and that Union Home is playing such a big role in this initiative.
So, Marcia, not only did Alice attend, but her boss, the owner of Union Home, got behind this. Talk about how significant that was for you.
You know, it's one thing for women to talk about the issues and support each other. It's a whole nother level when you have heads of organizations who are men that get behind it and champion it and talk about it. And not only did Union Home come in a big way to sponsor and make sure that we were able to bring in top-notch speakers, but Bill has been very active within Union Home in walking the walk and talking the talk. He brought a huge contingent of women from Union Home, not only to Empowering You, but stayed for the whole conference. Yes, and he is behind this 100%, and having men champion this effort is a game changer.
I'm excited about that. Alice, you were so excited you couldn't wait to find me when we got to the conference to tell me about what an amazing event it was. From your perspective, tell our audience what this experience was like.
So I'm going to preface this, too, a little bit for all the women out there listening to this who maybe have never considered themselves someone who is, you know, a woman movement joiner, right? I would have never put myself really in that category, right, of championing this and, or not this, I'm sorry, of being kind of focused on women's things, right? But after talking with MBA a while ago when this first kicked off and then attending this event, I am completely converted. So, you know, maybe, Marcia, I hope that makes sense, right? That, you know, some women just, you do the fight. You do the fight through the business over the years, and you just realize, you just kind of say that this is what I've got to do. Well, this event helped you realize, you know what, I don't have to do any kind of fighting on my own. There are lots of women who've been down this road, and we can work together to, you know, understand different ways to be better, be a part of the community, be better at what we do, and not be trying to go through it on our own. Learn from those who've been there before.
Exactly. And that's where we get, David, we get a lot of positive feedback from what I call the leadership panels that we have, because I think it's really powerful for women to hear from other women about their journey, what they did right, what they wish they would have done differently, what they've learned along the way. We've had a lot of feedback from women who said, I thought this was just me, or I never thought I could do that or do that approach. And I really think that the collaboration is a key piece of it. The networking is another huge piece. I have seen women who made connections. Actually, the energy going into annual after this event was so high. I was walking through the hall on Monday and I saw women high-fiving each other because they didn't know each other before. But then when they pass each other in the hall, it's like they have this connection that they didn't have.
It's a sisterhood, so to speak. It's a camaraderie like you're talking about. And that is so important. It's amazing that that didn't exist before now, but this brought this about. Now, something Alice touched on. First of all, you've got a Bill Cosgrove story, another Bill Cosgrove story, because I love Bill and I love his heart. He's a compassionate man. He believes in his people. He invests in his people and he invests in this industry. So I believe you have another Bill Cosgrove
story. I do. I have a great Bill Cosgrove story. So this summer, we had our independent mortgage bankers executive councils. So we had a group of probably 50 IMB executives in a room, and I was asked to come in and talk about the summit that would be taking place in October to make sure that this group was aware, and if they had women in their organization that they wanted to send, that they had the appropriate information. I started to talk, and Bill interrupted me. And normally, I might have been annoyed if a man interrupts me when I'm trying to talk in a meeting, but not this time, because Bill took over. Bill talked about the effort. He talked about the importance of it. He got the other men in the room talking about the importance of it, talking about who in their organization would be appropriate and the right person to go. They started talking about the efforts that they have within their organizations to, you know, bring about some positive change to get more gender diversity into leadership. The conversation went on for 20 minutes. I didn't say a word. And part of what's so significant about that is the message and the power of a conversation being held within this executive forum by the men is really, really important. And it would never have happened as spontaneously as it did if we didn't have the topic on the agenda of this summit. And Bill just took it and ran with it. So you can tell it's part of his vision and his fiber. So I'm just so fortunate that he is such a great spokesperson and champion for what we're doing with Empower.
Well, it goes to Bill's heart and what kind of guy he is, and we just can't get enough of those kind of examples out there in the industry. So, Bill, I'm sure you're going to listen to this. We appreciate what you've done for this. Alice brought up something that I think really needs to bring optics to this and almost crack some misnomers. Alice, you, so many women have just, you know, kind of slugged it through in the industry, and you talked about that, and because a lot of quote unquote women, you know, leadership events can be deemed as a woman's movement per se. Oh, Tricia went out of her way, says Dave, and I didn't bring it up. She just volunteered, says, for anyone who thinks this is a women's movement, like it's a women's lib type thing, nothing could be further from the truth. This is truly empowering women. And guys, we need you involved in this thing. So if you could bring some perspective to those that are going, sure, right. Put it this in the proper perspective of those that might misunderstand what this is about.
I agree. Absolutely, Dave, because I do think it's an important side of it, right? There was no purpose there to go in and do men bashing. That's not what this is about, right? There's a lot of great leaders out there, men and women. The whole idea is to make it non-gender specific on how to move through your career, knowing that women don't get perhaps as much leadership coaching throughout their mortgage career specifically, right? You start as a processor, work to an underwriter, you know, and it's hard to see beyond some of that, I think. And this really helps you see there are a lot of management roles. And one of the things I appreciate that we spend time on is women do have different emotions about leaving their family, right? And we do have different hurdles to overcome because we're the ones that birth the children. You know, I said to my husband, hey, I'll trade you anytime, right? You don't want to deal with my emotions. I'll trade. you can be the emotional one and birth the children. How's that, right? But it does interrupt your career.
And it does.
And it changes how you have to manage through your career. And so that's, to me, what is so important. As you mentioned, we had quite a few women from our organization go, and we had a lot of young women go, and they loved it. They just loved being part of seeing a vision that isn't necessarily clear every day when you're in the trenches of mortgage banking.
I was just going to add to Alice's comments. I think what she says is so important. We work really hard to make sure there isn't an atmosphere of, you know, men versus women. That's not what this is about at all. It is about gender equality. It's about understanding the differences. And there are natural differences in the way a woman approaches a career opportunity from the way a man may approach a career opportunity. There are some natural differences on how women look at their careers. And Alice, I think, being, you know, brought up a great example of sometimes women have to take a pause because there's a family that's being raised and involved and then come back into it. And so there's just some natural differences that we elevate and address. My husband attended last year's Empower session that we had at annual. And he said to me, everything she said, I could apply. I said, exactly.
Yeah. Yes.
But the difference is women don't always take the time to invest in learning about how they can apply new skills and techniques, right? We're so busy doing that sometimes we don't slow down long enough to say, let me just take an hour and hear from this speaker and hear what I can learn from this speaker. And we're creating opportunities to give women that space to learn. It doesn't mean that men don't learn when they attend as well. It's just this is targeted at really trying to get women together, again, because there aren't a lot of women in leadership. And sometimes sometimes when you go to a meeting, you're the only woman in the room still. And so it's nice to know other women at a conference. So when you go to sit in a general session, you know somebody you can sit next to and talk to. And, you know, sometimes it's as simple as that, just getting to know each other and grow from there.
One of the things you said is we both share this. We both have daughters now. Yours is already in the industry. My daughter's graduating from Baylor and hopefully is going to be following, pursuing there. She said she wants to get into it. And I think one of the considerations she has is she says, I ultimately want to have mom's job. And what mom is raising kids. And I think so many people see this as a separate, you either have, there's a fork in the road, there's this Y, and you have to go right or left. And I think it's so important that we have careers that embrace the family values, that embrace the raising of the children, where you can take a pause. And I don't think there's a better partnership that has an example of a partnership. Now, you and Scott have a wonderful marriage. I love meeting your husband, seeing him here at these events. I've had several opportunities to spend the time visiting. And it's really obvious. The two of you just have this really neat marriage. There's another relationship you have, and that's David Stevens. And what an amazing partnership the two of you have had in the leadership of MBA and how David has gotten behind this. And I hope others will pick up on Bill's lead and now David's lead as well in making this not just an event at conferences, but bring this into your organizations, guys and gals. Bring this there. We can start chapters within the company. How can we mentor and bring forth the gals that are in this industry? And identify the unique issues. Alice, you're right. There are unique issues that face women because of the child-rearing aspect of it. So I'm very excited to have this launch. I'm so excited about this initiative. Marcia, where do you see this going? What is the vision that you have and some of the goals that you hope to achieve with this, both short-term and long-term?
Well, David, we've got so much momentum that has happened over the last year, and then really with the annual convention and our events we held there. The number of emails I've gotten from women and the chatter within our online community is really propelling us forward. So what can you expect in the short term? We will be hosting Empower events at more of the regional MBAs and getting our community to tell us what topics they would find most helpful in order to start producing some webinars out there. We are also looking to grow our online community and get more. I've had a lot of women talking about they want to do more within their organizations and with their communities. So you had mentioned you want to see more of this, you know, get into organizations. And some of the organizations are, like Union Home has a big effort underway where they're really championing women. And I'm sure Alice can talk about Bill wanted to get some takeaways from what his team learned during the convention and the Empowering You event so that they can apply it within Union Home. I know Ellie Mae started their internal women's group after attending, after Susan, their head of marketing, attended an Empower event. So I want to keep the momentum. I want to keep the dialogue going. I also think it's important to bring more men into the conversation as much as we can. And so I'll be looking for those champions within the industry who are willing to work with us and partner with us to do more with Empower. And, you know, diversity as a whole, right? So it's finding those organizations that really will help us continue to keep this momentum and deliver good quality, not only networking events, but programming for our industry.
I want to give a shout out to Jeff Taylor and the group at Digital Risk for stepping up to being the first corporate sponsor. And I think that's outstanding. It shows the leadership that he has, as well as the foresight and innovativeness. He's an innovative guy. And he's got an innovative company. So we're giving him a shout out on the radio as well.
He does an executive women's retreat every year.
Oh, he does. I did not know that.
He does.
We got it.
Yes.
Jeff,
and
Jeff, we're going to come and get you for an interview. We
yes,
got to get you.
Yes, he does. And I told him, I made a promise because they invited me to their first one to speak. And I made a promise to him that at my lunch in San Diego, I was going to invite every woman I met at his executive summit to join us for lunch. So I always say to Jeff, in a way, you've been with me from the beginning. And they're still with us today.
Awesome.
They've been incredible sponsors and supporters. But yes, they were the first sponsor we had.
That's outstanding. Alice, as we wrap this interview up, go ahead and put your comments that you want our listeners, the things that are the most important things. And maybe you could talk about some of the initiatives that are underway there at Union Home to bring this inside of the organization and not just have it at a conference event.
Well, thanks, Dave, for the opportunity. So, Marcia, thank you. I guess that's the main thing I would want to say is thank you so much for, you know, moving this forward and for all the women who participated in the event. The panel discussions were so valuable. As you mentioned earlier, we found those very engaging. And that's really, as you said, the key is the conversations that develop. So when you say, what do we want to do at Union Home? We're still in the planning stages, haven't formalized that plan yet, but we do hope to be a model that other lenders find easy to duplicate so that this can spread too, that lenders see lots of value and banks, you know, any mortgage entity finds value in having the conversation, right? It doesn't have to be a long, complicated program or call in expensive speakers. The idea is that the conversation occurs, that women's issues matter, and looking at what is needed to make sure there's equality and safety in the workplace.
It's outstanding. Marcia, when is the next event? Is it going to be at the IMBA or at the IMB, the Independent Mortgage Bankers?
It's sooner than that. It's at Diversity.
Oh, good.
December 4th, literally right before the opening reception, we are hosting an Empower event. So I hope anyone attending Diversity Conference who's listening, come in early enough to be part of Empower.
And sponsors, are my radio sponsors, and to all the sponsors out there, this is a huge opportunity. Get on this now. Get some dollars out and support this. It's going to serve you well. I think it's probably one of the best ROIs, return on investments you could get. Marcia, Alice, thank you so much for coming on the program today and sharing this very important initiative. So glad we caught it early on, and we count us in on the partnership. Marcia, we're here with you, and I mean that. Let me know what we can do as a part of the podcast, all the podcasts we're doing, and what we can do to
further promote this and magnify this event and this initiative. Thank you.
Thank you, David. And Alice, thank you for participating and for all the support. And I look forward to seeing both of you at our future events.
And I will be there. We will be supporting this, folks. It's an important initiative. So I ask you, as you listen to this interview, what could you do in your organization to help build the careers of all your people? But definitely, let's focus on what we can do to help support the women that are so important. In many ways, the backbone of our industry. I want to say again, thank you, Marcia, for being there. I want to add, Alice is still here with us, so I'll turn on the microphone and let Alice join in. If you can, Alice, add a few comments here at the end as we wrap this up. But I thought that was just such an important interview, and I want to make sure we get it shared all over. Alice?
I found myself wanting to listen to it again to hear Marcia's thoughts, because I like the way she articulates the program and the next steps. So
yes.
At Union Home, we have started some of our initial planning for what that event might look like. And like I said, we hope to make a model that's easy for lenders to replicate and, really try to leverage some of your own in-house people and in-house talent. So
as you develop that, Alice, let's do this. Let's get more of, let's publicize what you're doing so we can help others formulate and empower event within their own organization. I think that's outstanding. Good job. Appreciate you hanging in there, Alice, all the way. It's a good interview. Thanks for your contributions. And again, Merry Christmas to you as well as to all our listeners. We're grateful for you being a part of this podcast and for sharing it with hundreds of thousands of other people out there. It's amazing to me how far we go, how many people are listening as a result of you sharing this. We just hope you have a Merry Christmas. We'll be doing a pre-recorded Christmas session on the 25th. Alice and Andy and Joe and Alan will be back the first week after New Year's, but we'll be doing some podcasts in there. So stay tuned all the way through the holidays. We'll be doing some podcasting.
You've been listening to Licken on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Licken of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.